In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What's the strongest motivation in your life? What floats your boat? The answer that you come up with reveals what you believe to be that which gives life meaning to you. How do we satisfy the deep yearning in our souls for meaning and fulfillment? Where is it to be found? Holy Scripture deals with this question, first of all, in terms of commandment. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've heard a lot about commandments this morning. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments, but there are actually 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 365 negative commandments, thou shalt not, and 248 positive commandments, thou shalt. In the days when Jesus walked the earth, it was common for rabbis, given this great body of law in religion, to be asked, well, which is the greatest commandment? What's the principle under which all of these commandments fall? If I'm to live in the way that God wants me to live and the way he created me to live, what should be the strongest motivation in my life? What should float my boat? A scribe, someone who had devoted his life to the study of the law, and you could see with that many laws how you could devote your life to it, asked Jesus the question, which is the greatest commandment of all? Well, Jesus' answer began with the Shema Israel, the law which every devout Jew, even to this day, says twice a day, morning and evening, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Now, at this point, it was a typical rabbinical answer. Then Jesus added something to it which made it unique. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. We cannot simply have as a motivating force in our lives the love of God and have that be a complete way to live, as important as that is. We must love our neighbor as well. One without the other is incomplete. The devout person, centered in prayer, attending worship at every possible opportunity, is not properly focused without loving those around him or her. Likewise, the ardent servant of the poor and the needy has also missed the point without first loving God. Each has a part, but neither is complete without the other. The scribe liked Jesus' answer. In essence, he said, "You're right. To love God and one's neighbor is better than even than giving everything that you have to the church." It's kind of ironic. We're listening to this particular reading during stewardship season. So according to the commandment, love is to be the motivating force in our lives. It's to motivate how we spend our time, direct our businesses, how we treat other people, spend our money, and what we give to the church and to the needy. So it does fit in stewardship season. Is there ever a time when the society in which we live needs to hear this more? Furthermore, the church is supposed to be the fellowship that exemplifies this love. We are a community of believers who live according to these commandments. Whatever else the church is, it's certainly a fellowship of love. How easy it is to get bogged down in the everyday business of the church, as holy as that business is. The vestry, the altar guild, acolytes, ushers, staff, and so on, and forget the wonderful fact that it's all about love. We're a fellowship that has been loved into being, and in turn we exist in order to love others into being. Thus, Christian faith is relational. To say that a person has faith in Christ but doesn't need the church is a contradiction of the most foundational sort. The church isn't a building where we come to carry on our private conversations with God. The church is a living, breathing organism made up of the flesh and blood of Christ and of his people. The English economist, R.H. Tawney, who was also a devout Christian, said that the man who seeks God in isolation from his fellows is likely to find not God, but the devil, who will bear an embarrassing resemblance to himself. And so the church is a fellowship of people relating to one another in love. But by love, our Lord certainly does not command us to have a particular feeling toward another person. If Jesus' definition of love is that it's a feeling, he would be commanding us to do something over which we have no control, really. Our feelings depend on so much that's out of our control. The heat and humidity, how much we've had to eat or drink, what side of the bed we got up on. If he were commanding a feeling, he might as well have commanded us to sneeze. Love is an act of the will. It's grounded in the love of God, revealed most fully in his Son, Jesus Christ. Our love is to be like Jesus' love for us. It's love that seeks always to be within the will of God, even when doing so makes us uncomfortable, even, perhaps, when it leads to suffering and death. It's love that returns good for evil. It seeks to serve rather than to be served. It's characterized by giving rather than receiving. It strives to fill the needs of others. It's always willing to forgive. It desires in all things to be like Christ and to bring others to Christ. This is to be the prime motivation of the church. And by the church, I mean every individual member of the church. Down through the ages, the church has her faults, for it remains filled with fallible human beings, and we are very imperfect in the way we exemplify. That love. But the church is also filled with people who know of God's love. And want to share it. I see it day after day in this parish, as I see how you love one another. I see it in the vestry. I see it as they work diligently to meet the needs of this parish. I see it in the committees. I see it in our musicians, the altar guild, our acolytes, our staff. I even see it in the clergy. What floats your boat? What is your prime motivation in life? And what do you and I need to do? What adjustments do we need to make to live into what we are called to be and who we are? And that is to love God and to love our neighbor. Amen.